All right, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 11. I want you to read a handful of verses here with me this afternoon. 1 Kings chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. The Bible says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place unto Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen." We're going to consider this thought this afternoon, a turned heart. Notice that several times in this passage the Bible says that Solomon's heart was turned away. Solomon's heart was turned away. And we'll consider several things this afternoon concerning Solomon, why his heart was turned, how it was, and what the result of it all was. And make some applications as well for us this afternoon. And let's ask the Lord to have His will again in our hearts. Amen. Isn't it a blessing to know the Spirit of God is moving and working? Isn't it a blessing to know that the Word of God is alive and it's powerful? Not just dead, dusty religion. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd accomplish Your will again. And as we consider Solomon and how his heart was turned away from the Lord and what the result of it all was, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to even look inward. And Father, to guard our heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, that You are concerned with the heart. And it's out of the heart that comes the evil thoughts and the evil ways and the evil actions. Because our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Father, we need to guard it. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to not be like Solomon, that allows our hearts to be turned away from You. But Father, be like David, who loved You with all of his heart. And I pray, Father, for the Spirit of God and the presence of God again this afternoon. And Lord, that You'd meet with us in a special way here. In Jesus' name, amen. As a young man, you know the story of Solomon. And as a young man, Solomon started out so, so very well in honoring God. Look back in 1 Kings chapter 3. You can hold your place here in 1 Kings chapter 3. In verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Here we find the beginning of Solomon, that the Bible says that he loved the Lord with all of his heart. Verse 3, and he walked in the statutes of David his father. And you see the request that he made of God to give him wisdom, to give him an understanding heart that he may judge and rule and discern between good and bad. You see his humility here. And his start was so good in honoring the Lord. But after he had been there a little while, things began to change in Solomon's heart. We get over to chapter 11 in our text and look at verse 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. After he had been there for a while, after he had had some experience under his belt, the Bible says that his heart was turned away from the Lord. We're going to consider this thought, a turned heart. And what does it mean to have a turned heart away from the Lord? How did it happen for Solomon? How did he get to that place? And really, what can we learn from it so as to not be how Solomon ended? Solomon began so very well, but he ended not so good. And you know, when it comes to our life, maybe when it comes to a ministry even, we're not usually remembered for how we start. We're not usually remembered for the middle. But we're usually remembered for how we end up and how things go in the end. That's usually what we're remembered for, how we finish. And so let's consider this. What does it mean? How did it happen for Solomon? What can we learn from it so that we finish well? So that we don't end up having a turned heart from the Lord. Amen? Consider, first of all, with me a portrait of a turned heart. Verses 1 and 2. Here's the portrait of a turned heart. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, "Ye shall not go into them, neither shall ye not they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clave unto these in love. Here's the portrait of a turned heart. See the kind of life that Solomon was now living? A life of adultery. A life of blatant sin against God. God said, don't bring them into you. Don't go unto them. Why? Because they're going to turn your heart away. And Solomon is now living the prophecy that the Lord gave. He's an actual living proof of it. Living a life of adultery, a life of idolatry, a life of open and blatant sin before the Lord. However, were these women really his problem? Were they really to blame for where Solomon was at? The blame for Solomon's condition lies squarely on his own shoulders. His adultery and his lifestyle that he was living was only a byproduct of his turned heart. And the blame lies squarely with him. Why? Why then? What was the reason for his turned heart then? If the women weren't to blame and the women were just a byproduct of his turned heart, how did he get to that point? What's to blame? Where does it lie? Notice verse 2. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Solomon made a choice. Listen, he made the choice to allow into his life those things that God had warned would turn away his heart. This word, turn away, it means to spread out. It means to stretch. All right, so follow me, all right? Think with me here. God warned not to bring these in. Don't go to them. They're going to turn your heart away from the Lord. The word means to spread out. It means to stretch. And it has the implication, follow this, of being pulled apart while holding two things at the same time so that you must make a choice. And the idea here is that you're holding on to one thing over here, holding on to another thing over here, and they're pulling in opposite directions, and you can't hold them both forever until you've got to let go and you've got to make a choice. Following that? So what we have is Solomon holding to these women that he loved, holding on to the God that he loved, and trying to hold them both at the same time, but pulling him in opposite directions until he's got to make a choice. God or the heathen women that he loved. But he couldn't hold them both. He had to choose. And verse 2, the last part of verse 2 says, Solomon clave to these in love. What choice did he make? You right? You with me? Let's make the application. Saint of God, child of God, we can be in the same exact position as Solomon. Sometimes we get our irons in the fire. And we get too many irons in the fire. And we've got too many things that we've got going on, too many things that begin to pull us apart, that begin to pull us away from the Lord. And and we try to hold on to the God that we say that we love, and we try to hold on to these other things that are actually pulling us apart, pulling us away from God, and we can't hold them forever. We're going to have to choose. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We can be pulled apart. And sometimes we have a choice. We're going to live in this temporal life? Are we going to live in the here and the now? Or are we going to live a life of service and commitment to God? We can be pulled apart by the things of this world. Are we going to choose the world? Or are we going to choose total separation from it? Because God and the world are not together. They have no thing in common. What communion hath light with darkness, right? This is why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I'm touching the unclean thing, and I want the Lord too. It's either God or the world, not both. We can't hold on to both forever. Sometimes I think saved people know that we're to be separated from this world, but we don't want to be too separated because we'll look different. And we don't want to be looked on as weird or strange. And there's no full commitment to God. Maybe we're not living immorally. Maybe we're not really doing anything wrong, but we're certainly not committed to God. These things can pull and to stretch us apart, to turn our hearts away from the Lord. That's why Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says, you can't serve two masters. You're going to either love the one, hold to the other, or despise the other one. Let's go back. I don't want to totally misquote that verse. Let's just read it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But so often that's exactly what Christian people do. Wanting to hold on to the temporal life, wanting to hold on to these areas of life, wanting to hold on to the God that we say that we love, but in reality they're pulling us apart until we're going to have to choose. So many Christians today, like I said, they're not doing wrong per se, but they're not fully committed to the Lord either. And I think that's how churches get stagnant. I think that's how we become complacent in our Christian life. We're not necessarily doing wrong, but we're not committed to God either. We're trying to ride the fence. We're still trying to live in this world. We're not wanting to fully separate and be separated unto God. And it begins to turn our heart away from the Lord. Keeping one foot in the world and one foot in the church per se. That's carnality. We're going to have to choose. And Solomon was a man who started out so well. He loved the Lord with all of his heart, and he asked God for an understanding heart, and he was humble before God. He started so well, but he was stretched apart until he had to make a choice. And the Bible says he clave to these in love, heathen wives, and not cleaving to the Lord. It's a powerful thought, isn't it, child of God? Our hearts can be turned away because we're trying to hold on to two things. And God says, no, it's me or nothing. This is the portrait of a turned heart. Solomon was living in adultery, living in idolatry, living in open and blatant sin, but that's not how he started. The reason he got there was because his heart was turned away. He was letting things into his life that God said, no, it's going to turn your heart, but he was still trying to hold on to it. Look at verse 4 in our text, chapter 11. The Bible says here, and secondly, we'll consider the process of a turned heart. Here was the portrait of a turned heart, but consider the process of a turned heart. Verse 4 says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. How did this happen for Solomon? To where his heart was turned away. Again, the women weren't really the problem. No, the problem was with him. As we said, he clearly made the choice. But how did he get to that point to where he made this choice? Notice verse 4 says that Solomon's heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. You know what that word perfect means there? It means to be full of or to be full with. So in other words, his heart was not full with God anymore. Look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 8. 1 Chronicles chapter 8, or 28, sorry. Here's the beginning of Solomon, and here's David giving Solomon instruction to his son. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. And the Bible says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Here's David, the voice of experience, saying to his son Solomon, he says, "You know the Lord thy God, know him and serve him with a perfect heart." A heart that is full with God. But we get over to our text in 1 Kings chapter 11, and the Bible says that Solomon's heart was not perfect toward the Lord his God. He became enamored with other things because he left room in his heart for other things. His heart wasn't full with God like David, his father's, was. You remember how David responded after he sinned with Bathsheba? Go to Psalm 51. What kind of heart did David have? The comparison is made here in this text that Solomon's heart was not full, was not perfect with the Lord. It wasn't full with God as was David, his father's heart. Psalm 51 in verse 4, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." David said, "Look, I deserve what I'm going to get. I've sinned against you." Go on and see what David said here. Go to verse 7. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Look, just keep reading. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." What was David's heart? He said, "I sinned against you, Lord, and I know that I deserve the judgment, but don't cast me away from your presence. Create in me a clean heart again." You see the difference in David versus Solomon, who clave to these in love? His heart was not full with God because he left room in his heart. You know, we can make lots of applications, I suppose. A husband and wife who are to be in a committed relationship, how does it happen where infidelity comes about? It doesn't just happen overnight. So often a heart is turned away and lured away and dragged away. And the reason is because they've left room in their heart when they're to be committed solely and completely to their spouse. How much more with the Lord? It's easy for our hearts to be turned away when we leave room in our heart for something else. We can be enamored with something else if we're not enamored with God. And David had a heart that said, "No, I've sinned, but I want to be in the presence of God." Look at Psalm 63, since we're in the Psalms. Just look at Psalm 63. again, just see an example of the kind of heart that David had. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. What a difference in the heart attitude between David and Solomon. Look at Matthew chapter 22. The process of a turned heart was that Solomon's heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. His heart was not full with God anymore. He left room in his heart for other things, and he became enamored with other things because his heart wasn't full with God. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. I don't see any room for anything else there. Love the Lord with all of your heart, and all of your soul, and all of your mind. There's not room for anything else there. And listen. Love for God more than anything else will keep us from much wrong and harm in life. That's why it's the first and great commandment, to love the Lord with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. Learning to love God more than anything else is a safety net that keeps us from so much wrong and so much harm in our life. It's when we don't love the Lord and our heart is not full with God and a heart to please God more than anything else that we become enamored with other things that turn our heart away from the Lord. What a sad commentary. The solution? Stay enamored with God. Amen? We stray when we lose sight of that and we become enamored with other things. Solomon got to this point when he was old. His heart was turned away because his heart was not perfect or full with God anymore. Consider thirdly with me this afternoon the petrifying of a turned heart. Go back to our text in 1 Kings chapter 11. We saw the portrait of a turned heart and how he got there. He was trying to hold on to two things. He made a choice. The process, his heart wasn't full with God anymore. But then we see the petrifying or the hardening of a turned heart. Look at verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Here's the petrifying of a turned heart. Twice, twice, Twice the Lord approached Solomon concerning this very thing. Twice the Lord came to Solomon and said, Solomon, your heart is being turned. You're going after other gods. You need to serve me and love me, the one true God. What a merciful God, amen, that he would even come to him. Not only once, but two times to appear to him concerning this thing. But Solomon's heart was already hardened to the point that even though Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, he still chose foolishly and chose not to hearken unto the voice of the Lord. That's a sobering thought. The wisest man who ever lived. How come he didn't see this? How come he didn't make the right choice? Surely his wisdom enabled him to see what was going on here. And he still chose to not listen to the voice of the Lord because his heart was hardened. And so it is with a turned heart, my friend. When our hearts are being turned away from the Lord, we stop listening to the Spirit of God trying to bring correction into our life. Have you experienced that before? I know that I have. That still small voice that's speaking very loudly. You understand what I'm talking about? You need to make some adjustments. You need to get that out of your life. You need to submit to me. You need to surrender. This is not right. You know it. Stop playing around with this. Stop being involved in this. You need to move. You need to get rid of it. And the Spirit of God just nagging and nagging and nagging because we want to hold on to it. We say no. Or we respond. Maybe we come to an altar and we pray, okay, God, I'm gonna get this right. I'm gonna do it. And then we get up from that altar and we kind of go back and we just fall right back into the same as we were. We don't actually deal with it and actually obey the voice of the Lord. And maybe it's still there in the mind, but we really didn't repent of it. And soon enough, we're right back in there again. And maybe the mercy of God is such that the Spirit of God comes again and He deals with it again in the heart, and we know God is dealing with it, but we continue to say no, or we continue to resist it, or maybe we come forward and we, okay, God, I'm going to do it this time. But then we don't actually follow through and obey. And pretty soon our heart is hard. What a sobering thought. The hardening or the petrifying of a turned heart. How is it that people end up where they are, who once maybe were good Bible-believing Baptist churches, sitting under the sound of the preaching of God's Word, who are, yes, I love God, maybe even voices of righteousness, to end up leaving, to end up turning away, to live a different life, to end up experience the consequence. How does that happen? As we leave room in our heart for something else other than God, our heart begins to harden. Until we, like Solomon, experience the product of a turned heart. Go back to our text there. Verse 7 and 8 and 12. The product of a turned heart. Verse 7. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh. By the way, there's always a then. There's always a then. Solomon's heart was hard. It was turned away then. And the Bible says that he built an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and then for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Why is this significant? Because here, Solomon is not just tolerating idolatry anymore. Solomon is actually participating in the idolatry. Here he married these heathen wives, and they had their heathen practice and heathen gods and so on, and his heart became turned, and he was tolerating that until he got to the point where not just tolerating it anymore, now he's participating, and he's building high places. This is significant. He's the guy who built the house of the Lord. The place where God's honor was to dwell. The place where they were to worship the one true God. He's the guy who built it, and now he's building high places to other gods. Solomon now is blaspheming God in full-blown idolatry. This is the product of a turned heart. And listen, friend. Sin always goes farther than we think it's going to go. And we don't even realize it. When our hearts are turned from the Lord, we move from tolerating things into participating in things. You ever had this happen or noticed this happen? Things don't bother you like they used to. Maybe a standard that you once held is being let down. And we're allowing things into our lives that maybe we once did not allow. Maybe like certain kinds of movies that once were considered wrong, now we're making a few exceptions. My friend, the heart is being turned away from the Lord. Rather than becoming more and more holy, and becoming more and more separated unto God, we're going the other direction. And we don't even realize it. Oh yeah, I'm spiritual. Oh yeah, I love God. Are you with me? How powerful. How sobering. To think of it. We go from tolerating and making a few exceptions to now participating. And instead of becoming more and more godly and more holy and more like Jesus Christ, our standards are going the other way. We're letting down. We're making a few exceptions and we're justifying it to make ourselves feel better. I suppose I could get real specific here about particular things. But maybe the Spirit of God will do a better job than me at pinpointing some of those things. But God's people are to be separated. God's people are not to be like this world. God's people are not to dress like this world. God's people are not to participate in the things of this world. God's people are not to take pleasure in and delight in the things that the world takes pleasure and delight in. It's God or nothing. God's not going to share it. Amen. Solomon chose to cleave unto these in love because he couldn't hold on to them forever. And it led somewhere in his life. It led to his heart being turned away. His heart was not full with God anymore. He was enamored with other things. And it led to his heart being hardened. But it led to something more than that. Look at verse 12. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake. Do what? Well, look at, back at verse 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son David for my servant's sake and Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Solomon's turned heart didn't just affect him. It affected his family and it affected his kingdom. Ultimately, his family felt the consequences of his choice. The whole kingdom felt the consequences of his choice. Listen, you consider Rehoboam, his son. What a fool Rehoboam was. Here's the wisest man who ever lived. And God said, I'm going to take the kingdom. I'm going to take it from your son. What a fool he turned out to be. And I'm saying, and my point is, listen, folks, there's always a then when our heart is turned away from the Lord. It's never good either. We can't be holding on to the world and to God. It's all or nothing with the Lord. And folks, we must endeavor to keep our hearts with all diligence. How do you keep your heart with all diligence? Keep it full with God. Be enamored with God, in love with the Lord. Leave no room for anything else. And it will keep us from much wrong and much harm. Let's not let our hearts be turned away like Solomon. Amen? Are you with me here this afternoon? Keep your heart. And let's love the Lord our God with all of our heart. And all of our soul, and all of our mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you keep us. We have a sinful flesh that is always trying to control. But we also have a new nature and the Spirit of God and victory over sin. That old nature in the flesh does not have to control us anymore. But it's when we leave room in our heart for something else other than God that flesh starts to take more and more control and gain more and more ground till we become slaves and servants to our flesh again. Solomon started out so well. He loved the Lord with all of his heart, the Bible said. But in time, his heart was turned away from the Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd even teach us today. Convict our hearts where it's necessary. Maybe we're trying to hold on to some things, and it's pulling and stretching us apart until we're going to have to choose. Lord, I pray that we would choose to cleave unto the Lord in love and not cleave unto these. Bless your people. Father, grow us and strengthen us in you. Make us more and more and more like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.